Christmas season is, you know, the shopping's all done, right? Anybody take anything back? Not yet? The malls are, you know, it's all done. We get to chill out for a while, right? But now, but see, now the hard work starts. So you thought the hard work was Christmas shopping. Oh, no. Listen, the hard work starts now. And I'm going to spend some time, you know, this morning talking about the hard work that we all have to do right now. The hard work's going to start. See, because the new year's coming. And we kind of have to decide, you know, what are we going to take with us into the new year? It's kind of hard work to try to decide, you know, what are we taking, what are we leaving, what's worth taking, what's worth not taking. And how many know you all got some stuff? Who has some stuff in this room? Oh, we all got stuff, right? Well, that's pretty cool, though. We all have stuff, and we have to kind of decide now, you know, what are we going to take with us? Anybody in this room a saver? Who's a saver? Thank you. I relate to you. You know, Sissy and I, we worked on cleaning our garage out yesterday. I was getting chills. I really thought I would have to call a therapist or something because she was throwing stuff away. And I was having a real problem with this because she threw away some of my spigot parts and stuff. And an old extension cord didn't have an end on it. I can fix that thing. How many guys relate that to me? Don't throw away my stuff. Not my stuff. And she just started throwing stuff in great big contractor garbage bags. Not even look, just took a box. And I said, you can't do that. I found the screwdriver I wanted, was looking for years. I found an old microphone holder. And that's my treasures. How many guys understand what I'm saying? Just, you know, oh, my stuff. And now the problem is we can park a car in the garage now. And the problem was whose car gets to park there. We get to make this decision now. As George Carlin said, we Americans are the strangest people on the face of the earth because we put $300 worth of junk in our garage and a $25,000 car outside. How many can relate to that? And so what we have to ask ourselves today is we're going to move into a new year. What are we taking? What have you taken from 2012 into 2013? What have you taken? You know, back into that example of Sissy said to me Saturday morning, we're going to clean this garage and I can't take it. We have no room for anything. And the way she said that to me, I had two choices. I knew I had two choices. They were immediate choices. One choice was let her do it. My heart couldn't take that. I didn't know what she'd be getting rid of. Or number two, go down there and help her out to try to preserve as much of my dignity and space as I could. How many men understand that? You know, it's really, really serious when she says to you, I'll just pay somebody to do it. How many ever heard that speech? I'll call the junk guys. And the problem that we have with this is this. But because we cleaned it all out and we got rid of a lot of my stuff, my treasures, we have room for what?
More stuff.
More stuff. You got that? You understood that, right? More stuff. And so the problem that we have in 2014 is we're going to come into 2014. We have to decide, do we have room for some more what? Some more stuff. You see, God doesn't bless to you, brothers and sisters. He blesses through you. If you hoard all of your blessings and you hoard everything and keep it to yourself and save it for your rainy day, well then what do you have free? What arms do you have free to catch the blessings that he wants to bless you with in 2014? Well, that's another whole different message. But today, we're going to talk about the things that prevent us from having a brand new year. So I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, please. We're going to turn in the scripture, and the first passage of scripture that we're going to explore is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19. And for our visitors who don't know how we do things here, is we always use our scripture. Hopefully you brought it with you. But in case you did not bring it with you, we have somebody who is going to read it to you. And the reason we do that is because some people might be faking me out. You know, not turning, opening it, but not turning to it. And the third reason we read it orally is because we're recording it, as you know, and we have passage scripture on the tape too. So, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Behold, God is doing a what? How many like new things? Two people, that's what I thought. How many like the way things are all the time? How many don't like change? How many go, oh man, no change. Ain't no change here, man. Eric, you and me, right? Hey, my left shoe goes on the left foot at the first. That's the way it works. Change sometimes is not good. They kind of like the old way. How many of you have a lot of experience of being you? And how many have more than 21 years, except for Ryan, I know. How many have at least 21 years of being you? And you, you know, we got it down pretty good, don't we? We really got it down pretty good. And one of those things that we got down pretty good, what we got down pretty good is we know exactly how we think. We know how we feel. And we got that down pretty good. But God says, you know what? I'm going to do a what? A new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. I think a lot of you know that I coach softball for my daughters when they were growing up, and now I'm coaching my granddaughters as they're growing up, and I love coaching kids. That's what I like to do. You know, sometimes you think it's a good thing to get a kid on your team that you never had before. And you think sometimes it's a good thing to get a kid that's been playing for 4 or 5 years, and you think that's a good thing. No, that's not a good thing sometimes. Because if that child's been coached wrong the whole time, guess what you have to do? You have to change some habits. And unfortunately, the reality of it is, sometimes the kid wants to coach you. Well, no, this is the way I've always what? How many of you can say that too? This is the way I've always done it. This is the way I've always thought. This is the way I always felt. This is the way I always processed it. This is the way I've always done it. And sometimes you have to get rid of some of those things and understand maybe there's a better way of doing it. Maybe there's a better way of processing things. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe your way is not the best way. Somebody a whole lot smarter than me once said, hey, you know what? If you do the things you've always done the same way you always did, guess what? You'll be where you always are. That's worth repeating, huh? You can write that down. If you do what you always have done all the time, if you do the things you've always done, then guess what? You will be what? Where you always are. And what you need to ask yourself today, December 29, 2013, are you satisfied where you are right now? Is life for you great? Are you having that abundant life? Is your life full of joy? Or do you have joyful moments? Do you have the peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings? Or do you have peaceful moments? How many would say you have joyful moments but not a joyful life? Who says that in this room? How many can say I have peaceful moments but not a peaceful life? And so God is saying to all of us, you know what? I'm prepared to do a what? A new thing. But just as surely as that 12-year-old little girl I'm coaching softball, she's going to be stuck in her ways and she's going to say, no way, this is the way I always do it. Who are you to tell me? That's the way life is, isn't it? You know why sometimes people do not like pastoral counseling? Because this is what I do for a living, right? You know why sometimes people don't like pastoral counseling? Because you know what we say to you? Stop doing what you're doing. Wait a second. You mean I can stop doing what I'm doing? Just stop it. There's a person going to a counselor. And she's been going to the counselor for about 10 years. 10 years. And one day the counselor was having a very bad day. He was really having a bad day. Had an argument with his wife. His car broke down on the way to work. He got a ticket. Bad day. Having a really, really bad day. And he walked into the office. And there was this lady, his first patient of the day. She just moaned and whined and complained the whole time he ever had it for 10 years. And he couldn't take it anymore. And he was having a bad day. She's having a bad day. She came in and she started talking. And he said to her, hey, just stop doing what you're doing. And she said, what? And the counselor said, yeah, just stop doing it. Don't do it anymore. Just stop it. Just stop it. And she said, well, I never. And she walked out. He was beside himself. Oh, that's one of my faithful clients. I can't believe I just did this. She belongs to the women's group. She's going to tell everybody I told you, just stop it. The next week she comes in for her appointment. And he was so apologetic. No, I won't need to see you anymore. Oh, I just knew you would say that. No, you don't understand. I don't need you anymore. But why? Because I just stopped it. I just stopped it. I just stopped doing those things. I just stopped thinking those things. I just, what? Stopped it. And I understood that a lot of the responsibility for who I am today and where I am today is nobody else's fault but whose? Mine. It's all me. It wasn't because my mom ran away from the mailman. It wasn't because a dog bit me when I was 2. It wasn't because I fell out of the swing set and hit my head in the playground. It's because of choices I have made. Help me understand that. It's because of choices I have freely made is where I am here today. And so what we need to explore here today is God says I am doing what? Let's look at that again. Sue, read that for me again. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Wow. Forget the things of the past. Does that mean he wants us to have amnesia? No. But he says, don't dwell on it. Do not allow the things of the past constantly affect the things of your tomorrows. How many of us are ensnared with the things of the past? A lot of us are. I just can't seem to what? Let it go. God says, I'm doing a new thing. And I want you to forget. I want you not to dwell. And he says, and some of this thing I'm going to do in you and for you and through you is unfamiliar to you. You haven't been this way before. You haven't seen life this way. You haven't processed life this way. It's going to be unfamiliar to you because you're so used to doing it whose way? My own way. How's that working out for you? How many of you could write a bestseller doing it my way? How many copies would you be able to sell? I mean, really, on the shelf, my dear friend Yoshiko, doing it my way, Yoshiko Lang. Eric, how many copies should we buy? Be careful, Eric. Be careful. Be careful. I mean, how many could write a book doing it my way? And how many copies would you be able to sell? Well, a book's already been written, and it says, do things my way, says the Lord. And he sold a lot of copies. But see, what we have to do is we have to apply it. The difference, I told you before, of faith in some people is measured in 12 inches. It's a distance from your head to your heart. We know it. But what must we do? You got to do it. So what are some of the things in the past that cause us not to be able to move forward into a new year? One of the first things that we need to get away with is the pain. We all have pain, don't we? All of us have lived through pain. Bush and Sue are having their turn now with the passing of their beloved pet. I, 2 weeks ago, with the passing of my mother. We understand pain. Who here understands pain? We understand pain. Pain is real. The pain of grief, the pain of mourning, the pain of sorrow is real. But what we don't want to ever do, brothers and sisters, is we don't want to get stuck there. That's called complicated grief. We don't want to get stuck there. We want to work our way through the process. And everybody works through it differently. Is that not a fair statement? But work through it, we must. or you'll be stuck. We'll be stuck. Now turn in your Bibles, please. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14.
Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
All of us have moments of pain. We have pain from trauma, pain from abuse, pain from rejection, pain from abandonment, pain from broken relationships, pain when someone passes away. Well, we all have pain. That's the human condition. If you live on this earth long enough, you will get your turn. Everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. But see, brothers and sisters, that makes us human. The human condition that we find ourselves in today at about 11 o'clock on December 29th is we are human. How many know that you are human? We're human. And part of the human condition is that we will experience pain. That's part of the process. For by the same measure that you love someone is also by the same measure that you grieve someone. That's the trade-off. You can't have one without the other. It doesn't work that way. So you get your turn. But what do we do with it? See, God is saying to all of us today, you know what? I'm busting out. I'm ready to do a new thing. Does God understand pain, do you think?
Yeah.
God certainly understands pain, doesn't he? You think Jesus understood pain?
Yes.
Of course he did. But God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. And I'm not asking you to forget the things of the past. What I'm asking you to do is not let them to define you. Not allow them to change your course. I'm asking you, God says, to let me do a new thing. I'm laying a river in the wilderness where none was ever before. I'm going to do something new in you that you have never seen before. Ever did you see before. But we have a whole bunch of excuses why we don't want to go. Don't we? We all have this whole list of excuses about why my life cannot be better. Oh no, your lives can be better. The question that we have for one another is this. Does whatever happened to me years ago define what happens to me years ahead? You have to decide that. It says in Philippians, it says, I strain to go what? Forward. I strain. Why? Is it because things up here is pushing me back? No, it's because the past is what? Pulling me back. It's not that there are a lot of people here providing, you know, a barrier for me so I cannot have an abundant life. It's my past is what? Pulling me back. My past is reminding me of my past hurts and my past pains. Oh, everybody gets to turn. But is it possible? Is it possible to let go of some of that pain? Is it possible to let go of some of that hurt? It is. Turn in your Bibles, please. And we're going to read Mark chapter 11, verse 25.
And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins.
Well, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, and I know some of you have heard this before, but it's worth my repeating to you now. I want you to clearly understand and grasp a hold of the truth that I know what it is like to have pain. I know. Sissy and I have been there. We have walked it. On March the 5th, 8 years ago, our 33-year-old son was killed by a drunk driver. I want you to know, I get it. I got the phone call that my son was in a car trapped and he was dead. I get it. I understand the pain. No one needs to explain to me the pain. I get it. I understand it. I understand the pain of watching my wife lose her son. I get it. I understand the pain of watching my children lose their brother. Older, I get it. I understand the pain of watching my son's wife go through that process and miscarrying. I get it. I understand the pain of looking at the guy who killed my kid in Walmart at Christmas time shopping for his girlfriend and my wife crying her eyes out. I get it. You understand this? I understand pain. I understand it. I get it. I understand the pain of wanting to get even with somebody who killed your kid. I get it. I understand. The problem that I have here is not that I understand that. My problem this morning is you don't understand the release you get when you forgive somebody. When we forgave the guy who killed our son in the Butler County Courthouse in Judge Schaefer's room on the day that he professed that he killed him and pled guilty, and I got up and I forgave him, my pain left me then. And I'm afraid you don't understand it. I understand the feeling of a total release of the most enormous pain I've ever felt in my life. I want you to understand that you can be set free. And I don't mean a little bit free. I mean set free. I get it. Some of you don't. Some of you don't. I understand what it is to forgive the man who killed my son and have my wife forgive him because I did. I understand what it's like to set someone else free. I also understand what it's like to set my daughter-in-law free because I forgave him. She did. And I understand what it's like to have my children forgive him because I did. I also understand the power of forgiveness. And I'm afraid you don't. You see, you don't forgive them for them. You forgive them for you. And so many people will continue to tell me, Pastor Tom, I don't know how you ever could have done that. I never could have done that. And that's a lie. You could have done it, and you could do it. You just choose what? Not to. What is it? What is causing you so much pain? What is it that's causing you so much pain that you cannot let it go? What is it? Well, what is it in your lives that the pain is so real that you enjoy it so much? You enjoy that? Do you enjoy that amount of pain in your life? Really? How many have someone in this room they need to forgive? Who has somebody? Anybody have anybody in this room you need to forgive? Okay, one person? Two? Now, come on. Who's got people to forgive in this life? Okay, now, cool. Now, you know why you have yet to forgive them? Because you haven't. Because you haven't. And the question that needs to be asked is, who's the one that's ensnared? You or them? You. You are. I was counseling a woman for a couple years past, and I said to her one Sunday, you know, she kept it up and kept it up, and I said to her, don't you think, and he did. He committed adultery on her. He did. Big deal. It's a big deal. But she wanted the marriage to last, and she wanted to work it out. And I said, okay. So we spent a couple years in counseling. I finally said to her one Saturday morning, I said, don't you think it's time that you forgive him? You know what she said to me? No.
Never.
And I said, well, why not? You told me that you wanted to. You told me you wanted the marriage to work out. The only way you can make it work out is to forgive him. And she said to me, no, he hasn't suffered enough yet. Ooh. He hasn't suffered enough yet. Nope. He's still got some more suffering to do. I said, oh, where's he at now? Golfing. Oh. And who's he golfing with? His buddies. Oh. And where are you? Oh, I'm here with you, of course. Oh. Seems to me the one that's suffering is you. Not him. Well, you're suffering, not him. How many understand that? So how many of you are suffering today that you want to bring with you into 2014? And the question I got to ask you, how's that working out for you? It clearly says in the Gospel of Mark, it says, you can't even begin to understand the forgiveness God gives to you until you can begin to understand what it is like to what? Forgive others. But Pastor Tom, I can't do that. Oh, let's get truthful now. Yes, you can. Let's change it. What? I won't. Oh, no, that's totally different. God says, I'm doing a new thing. I want to do a new thing. I want to wipe the slate completely what? Clean. I want you to go into 2014 completely what? Cleaned up. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let go of some pain in your life and say, hey, you know what? Sure, it hurt, but it won't define the rest of my life. You know what I finally concluded when I forgave the guy that killed my kid? This is it. He got my son, but he's not getting me. Let me run that by you one more time. He got my 33-year-old son, but he ain't getting me. Help me understand that. Who has you now? And who's been having you for a long time? Is it not time to what? Cut him loose? Let's turn our Bibles, please. Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Most of us could quote that, couldn't we? For all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, the first thing we got to let go of the former things that keeps us from moving forward, let go of the former things is our pain. The second former things is our mistakes. How many of you here made at least one mistake? And all you didn't raise your hand, that's a lie. That's your first mistake. Now, who all made a mistake? Now turn to your spouse if they're here saying, I'm not talking about you. Just give me an opportunity to throw your softball. We have all done stupid things. Who's done stupid things? And how many did stupid things even like last year? Okay, last week. Sandy, yesterday. Oh, Sandy. We have all done stupid things. Do you know why? Because we're human beings. There is not one person on this earth who is perfect. The only one that's ever perfect died, resurrected, ascended, and he's coming back. And all the rest of us, at best, are imperfect most of the time. But what things have you done in the past that needs your dwelling upon in the future? What is it? What are the things from your past that you have done that you are still dwelling on today that helps you define who you are? You know what I tell Teen Challenge every Sunday night? And I got about 35 guys from Teen Challenge there on a Sunday night. I'll have them there tonight. 35 guys from Teen Challenge. And you know the big difference between most of them and most of us? They got caught and we didn't. Now that's worth repeating one more time. I'll have 35 guys from Teen Challenge who got involved in some stuff. And you know the big difference between them and most everybody else is what? They got caught. You think they're any worse than we are? No. How many in your youthful days might have been at Teen Challenge had they found out about you? True. How many of you were driving when you probably shouldn't have for whatever reason? So the difference is what? They got caught. And what I tell 35 guys from Teen Challenge is this. Every one of you has a past. But every one of you's got a future too. You see everybody in this room? You all got a past, don't you? How many of you got a past? Everybody's got a past. But everybody's got a what too? There's an old gospel song. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, because you brought me from a mighty long way. Somebody once said, you know what? I may not yet be where I want to be, but I thank you, God, I'm not where I was. How many can say amen to that? And so what we have to say to ourselves, how much of that stuff that we did so many years ago, and in Sandy's case yesterday, how much of that stuff do we bring forward with us into 2014? There's a country western song, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Anybody know the song? Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Oh, what I coulda been. Oh, what I shoulda done. Oh, what I woulda been. You know that song, right?
I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it? I like it. I like it. And the unfortunate truism is this, that we sit back and we beat ourselves up with a big old ugly stick. How many know how to beat yourselves up? Oh, the things I have done in my life. Well, join everybody else because they did it too. And here's one thing you need to get this in your brain. How many believe in spiritual warfare in this room? Spiritual warfare is real, right? All spiritual warfare will cheer you up. Now, here's the thing you got to remember. Satan's got enough stuff against you. Don't give him more sticks to beat you with. Don't, you know, he's got enough stuff. No weapons formed against me shall prosper. He's got a whole bag of weapons with your name on. Don't say, oh, you forgot this one. Come on, beat me up with this one. Come on, beat me. Oh, you beat me. Really? Really? God's grace is sufficient. Turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
Praise God. Praise God. I want you just to think back now. I want you to think with me for just a second. I want you to think with me. The biggest, ugliest thing you've ever done in your life. I want you to think about it right now. I don't want you talking. Don't share with anybody. Hey, do you know I did this? No. I want you to think about the biggest, ugliest thing that you have ever done in your life. This thing that continues to dwell in your heart, whether it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. In Sandy's case, 21 years ago. Whatever it is that you have done, I want you to think about that just a second. Whatever that big, ugly thing, that raging sore in your heart is, I want you to think about it. Y'all got it? God's bigger than that. God is bigger than that. And in that thing that you continue to hold in your heart, God is bigger than that. And God can do with your bad stuff as best as he do with your good stuff. He can still turn it out to be for his glory. And those things that you have done, how many have learned from it by now? How many said, I ain't never going to do that again? How many said that? How many said that, unfortunately, two or three times? Yeah. In their lives, the problem, see? Because you haven't meant it when you said it. You haven't meant it when you said it. And see, for born again, Bible thumping, card quoting, scripture quoting kind of guys like us, we need to say, hey, no, I'm done talking the talk. I'm going to start what? Walking the walk. And whatever this thing is in your life, are you going to bring that with you again into 2014? Why? Why would you bring it with you? How many's leaving it behind? Leave it behind. If God forgave you and forgot it, who are you to bring it? It's gone. Let's turn to our Bibles, please. James 5:16.
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Mm. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective.
You know, one of the best things to do about your past mistakes? And you know what? Let's add a word, your past choices. Those things that you have done for which you are not proud of. They're the best thing to do about them. Ask God to forgive you. And if necessary, have an accountable person. Anybody in this room have an accountable person? I got an accountable person. If you don't have an accountable person, you need to get one. Somebody who is safe. Guys need to have accountable to guys. Women to women. Okay, not guys to women. Guys to guys. Women to women. If you need to talk about it with somebody, then you need to find somebody who is safe. That can keep your confidences, help you work your way through it, and get God involved in it. And guess what might just happen with those feelings that you have about those past choices? What about it, Mark? Gone. Gone. Everybody has past mistakes. And so there are two things so far that we know of. that will prevent us from moving forward. God says, forget the things that lie behind. Forget the former things. They lie behind. What's the first one? Pain. Pain from all kinds of stuff. Second one is mistakes. The third one is the good old days. How many have the good old day mentality? Let's talk about the good old days for just a second. Oh, I remember when there was penny candy. And it cost a what? A penny.
She don't remember.
She don't remember now. Oh, I remember walking uphill in the snow to school both ways. And what didn't I have?
Shoes.
Boots. I remember riding on the streetcar. How many ride streetcars? Oh, I can remember when I used to go to McDonald's and got a three-course meal for 27 cents. I remember those days. Milkshake, fries, and the cheeseburger. Now, if I have to take my 7 grandkids, which I'll be doing New Year's Eve, to McDonald's, I have to get a loan. $50. McDonald's, $50, easy. And so we look at the coulda, woulda, shouldas of life. All the good old days, if only I had that back, and only if I'd been there, and only if I could have all of that back, I would be so much better. No, you wouldn't. Because you know why? You still got to deal with you. You still have to deal with you. Let's talk a little bit about the good old days. Yeah, there's some good in the good old days. There's some good back there. My son was back there. That was one of the good old days. Mary's son was back there. Clyde, your son was back there. Your granddaughter was back there. How many have some folks back in the good old days? Yeah, the good old days. That was good about the good old days. But do we really want to have that mentality that I will never be whole again until I have my son again? If that's my mentality, well, my son died 8 years ago, and I will never be good until I have him back. That means I will never be good till when? Well, eternal life, maybe. That's kind of like it. You think that's what my son wants?
No.
You think that's what God wants? No. You think that's what Satan wants? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. And Satan wants to make me weak, so what's he going to rob? My joy. So what will he remind me of? Oh, if only I would have had that job I could have taken. Only if I'd have had that house, I shouldn't have sold it. Oh, if only I wouldn't have moved from that neighborhood. Oh, only if I'd have kept that 1969 Plymouth Roadrunner I had in high school. Well, that's true. That part's true. How many should have kept the car you had when you was growing up? Oh, if I would have kept that car. Only if I would have wrecked my motorcycle in the sissy's new truck. That part's true too. But other than that, the good old days is what? The good old days. And guess what? The good old days before there was the good old days was the 2 days. Did you know that, Gunn? The good old days before there was the good old days was the present days. Did you know that? Did you know next year this day will be the good old day? Did you know that? So did you understand that what you're doing today becomes the good old day of the future? You didn't know that, did you, Mike? It's true. The good old days. Turn your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
A lot of us in this room, we have to deal with the pain of losing a loved one. Right, Mary? A lot of us in this room are ensnared of the future because of ones we've lost in the past. My ma, 2 weeks ago. But it says in Scripture that blessed are those who are mourning, for they will be what? Comforted. You see, when we are in mourning for whatever reason that we are, if we only could just lift our head up and open our eyes, we will be comforted by the great comforter. For those who mourn are comforted by the great comforter. I know something about that. I do. I don't need lessons in that. I don't need to go to a support group and learn about that. I lived through that. I got that part down pretty good. But I also know what it's like to let it go and move forward. I know what, Mary, you know what that's like. I know what that's like to move forward. Now listen to me. Listen to me. When it comes to past pain and past heartache and the good old days that encompassed all those we love that's back there, I got it. I get it. But listen to me. We still move forward. We do. And we have the opportunity right now, December 29, 2013, to do something different. Here it is. We can continue moving in the same direction we always have, and we can take all that stuff with us. You're welcome to take it. No one's going to rob it from you. You can take it. Or you can let it down. And what you need to do is you need to move over and start a new path forward. You'll never be the same, but you can be okay. Help me understand that. You'll never be the same, but you can move over and then what? Move forward. Move forward. This is the eve of 2013's ending and the beginning of 2014 starting. On there, how are you going to do it? Same old, same old. Is that what you want? Same old, same old. Well, I believe for me and my wife and my kids and my grandkids, God's doing a new thing. And some of those new things are unfamiliar territory to me, but I'm going to go along for the ride. And when it's comfortable for me, I'll sit tightly by and be real polite. And when things get a little rough, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to hold on tightly to everybody's hands. I'm going to put my hands, I'm going to go, "Wee! What a ride!" You get to decide. How many moving forward into 2014 a little lighter with all the burdens? How many's going to move forward a little bit lighter and say, "Hey, you know what, Lord? Hey, whew. 2013, thank you, Lord, for getting me through it. I cannot wait until 2014, see all the blessings." So if you want to get rid of some stuff, let me have you stand up. If you want to get rid of some stuff, stand up. We're going to pray together, okay? And if you don't, that's fine. You can just stay seated. But for those who are saying, "You know what? I just going to dump some stuff here. I just, you know what? I'm getting rid of some stuff." So let's just pray. Father God, we have two choices, the way I see it. We can let the past define us, or we can let your word define us. We can really, truly be defined. We can be defined by our past pain and our past choices and our past mistakes and the good old days and the things that were. And we can let that define us. We can. We're free to let that define us. Or we can say, "No, your word will define us. You will define us." We can certainly say to ourselves, "You know what, this world is messed up and I'm real smack dab in it." We can say that. Or we can say, "You know what, this world's messed up and I may be in it, but I'm not of it. I can rise above it." Rise above it. So Lord, I pray here today for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and what we are deciding to do today is let it go. And next week, Lord, in our service, we'll have a big old garbage can up here, and people will write down things they don't want to take with them. They're going to crump it up and throw it away. We don't want it. So, Lord, as we're on the eve of 2014, let us contemplate and think about those things that have caused us so much pain. Maybe choices we have made or things done to us through the choices of others. And maybe, Lord, we're saying to ourselves, "You know what? I just want it not to define me anymore. It's not defining me anymore. That's not who I am. I'm bigger than that. Because the Holy Spirit that dwells in me makes me bigger than that. For Lord, there's nothing I cannot do through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Nothing." So Lord, we ask your blessings upon us here. And we will refuse to be defined by our past mistakes. We refuse to be defined by our past pain. We refuse to be defined, Lord, by what could have been, what should have been, what would have been. We are going to be defined by your word as we move forward with great anticipation. And we say to you, Lord, do a new thing in us. For we are so ready. We are so ready to have a new thing done in us. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. And all of God's people said, amen.